Imagine having a front row seat to some of the most audacious digital heists ever executed. That's precisely what The Art of Intrusion delivers, a rare glimpse into the minds of hackers who've breached everything from Vegas casinos to government networks. This isn't fiction. These are real stories from real hackers, meticulously documented by Kevin Mitnick, once America's most wanted cyber criminal turned security consultant. What makes these tales so compelling isn't just the technical brilliance on display, but the human psychology behind each breach. We meet hackers driven not primarily by greed, but by curiosity, challenge, and the intoxicating thrill of accomplishing the seemingly impossible. These aren't faceless villains, but complex individuals, some motivated by ethical concerns, others by the pure intellectual satisfaction of solving an intricate puzzle. The book reveals a sobering truth. In the digital realm, perfect security is a myth. For every sophisticated defense, there's a creative attacker with unlimited time to find just one vulnerability. And often, the most devastating breaches don't require advanced technical skills at all. They exploit something far more vulnerable: human trust. Four tech consultants transformed a vacation joke into a million-dollar scheme by exploiting video poker machines. When one consultant's wife jokingly suggested using their skills to win more, casual banter evolved into a serious plan. After purchasing and reverse engineering a Japanese slot machine, they discovered its critical flaw. The random number generator followed a predictable algorithm based on outdated 1960s programming. They developed a prediction system that evolved from Casio watches to a sophisticated wearable computer components hidden in clothing, with a microprocessor in a pocket connected to a shoe button that triggered silent vibrations indicating which cards to hold. This system provided a 20 to 40% advantage per hand. They avoided detection by rotating between casinos and bringing girlfriends as distractions. Their three-year streak ended when their most reckless member was caught. One later reflected, "It was one of the most exciting things I've ever done," capturing the addictive thrill that drives many hackers despite legal consequences. Two young hackers, 20-year-old Comrade and his friend Neo, were approached by Khalid Ibrahim, claiming to represent Pakistani militants with bin Laden connections. Khalid tested Neo with a $1,000 offer to hack a Chinese university. Neo succeeded through social engineering, finding most passwords matched usernames. Though unpaid, he continued accepting assignments, driven by a thirst for power, eventually hacking Boeing and finding unencrypted 747 schematics. Khalid then targeted Cyprinet, the classified U.S. military network, offering Comrade $10,000 for access. Comrade came pretty close by breaching a Defense Information Security Agency system. The situation escalated when Khalid claimed responsibility for hijacking Indian Airlines flight IC-814, terrifying Neo. Comrade was eventually imprisoned after violating probation. After 9/11, Neo was devastated. "Do you know how much I cried that day? I felt for sure my life was over. To think that maybe I had something to do with it." This story reveals perhaps the most dangerous threat: terrorists partnering with skilled young hackers seeking recognition with potentially catastrophic national security implications. Two convicted murderers, William and Danny, built a secret computing empire inside a Texas state prison. They started with basic prison jobs offering computer access. Danny learned database programming from a manual during clerical work, while William used his kitchen position to gain influence and trade food for favors. They transformed a storage room into their workspace, complete with an improvised air conditioner, and built computers using toilet paper rolls as hard drive holders. William traded food for network cable and ran Ethernet through pipe chases to connect multiple systems. Their operation reached its peak when they combined Danny's external phone lines with William's computers, creating a continuous internet connection. They ran servers downloading movies, games, and hacking tools, including unreleased titles. Both men now work in computer-related jobs using skills acquired in prison, demonstrating how insider threats often pose greater risks than external hackers due to their physical access and knowledge of security vulnerabilities. What drives someone to spend 2 years hacking the same company? For Eric, a security consultant, it was simply because this software company was the last major server software provider whose source code I didn't have. His story exemplifies the extraordinary persistence of determined hackers. Eric methodically uncovered vulnerabilities, first an unprotected WSFTP server log, then database passwords in .inc files. After 8 months, he breached the CEO's computer by finding his IP address in email logs and guessing his SQL password, scanning just a few ports every 2 hours to avoid detection. When accidentally exposed after disabling the firewall, Eric patiently waited weeks before trying again. He later discovered access to nightly source code backups. Even when his download was interrupted, the IT person merely ran a virus scan and dismissed the activity. Cracking the encrypted zip file took just 5 minutes. Eric's motivation was the challenge. I like not being detected. I like doing things differently and very quietly. Fuck being a script kiddie. Be a hacker. This case demonstrates why perfect security is nearly impossible against a determined attacker with unlimited time. Why do sophisticated security systems fail? Often because they overlook the most vulnerable component, people. Social engineering exploits our natural tendencies to be helpful, polite, and efficient. Security consultant Worley demonstrated this at a casino audit by arriving early, gathering intelligence through casual conversation, and building rapport with an auditor using cold reading techniques. He talked his way past security by mentioning a guard's nickname he'd overheard. Inside, he confidently entered the surveillance room, issued commands as Walter from internal audit, and gained access to executive offices where he installed a wireless access point. When caught, Worley revealed his identity. Yet the IT director began sharing security plans instead of verifying credentials. Social engineers exploit key psychological principles, establishing credibility, making statements against self-interest, predicting events they secretly cause, and solving problems they created. They force targets into specific roles and exploit heuristic mode, where people take mental shortcuts rather than thinking carefully. Despite sophisticated technologies, little attention is given to countering social engineering, information security's weakest link. Security is an ongoing process requiring constant vigilance, not a product. Even organizations with substantial security investments remain vulnerable to determined attackers who understand both human psychology and technical systems. Eric's 2-year quest for server software demonstrates that perfect security is virtually impossible. Once deeply penetrated, networks cannot be secured without complete, simultaneous system overhauls. Defense in depth is essential. Perimeter security alone fails. Organizations should isolate public-facing systems, implement internal firewalls, strengthen password policies, and address social engineering through clear protocols and regular training. Attackers need to find just one vulnerability, while defenders must secure everything. As Sun Tzu wrote, "Know thyself and know thy enemy. In 100 battles, you will never be in peril." While well-resourced adversaries can eventually breach most systems, your goal should be making the effort so challenging it's not worth their time. In this ongoing battle, vigilance and adaptability remain our most powerful weapons.